Today's story from the Mahabharata is entitled Bhima's Marriage with Hidimbi. After escaping from the great fire which was intended to kill the five Pandava brothers and their mother Kunti, the heroic family escaped to the forest, where they were to live in hiding for many months. The Pandavas, having crossed the river Ganges, wended their way towards the south. They reached Siddhavat. They were extremely thirsty and tired. Bhima's brothers addressed him.
Bhima, the way is long and we are tired, but we still have to go a long distance. Can you help us once again? Can you carry us on your shoulders and back as you did once before?
Bhima willingly carried them all and walked fast towards the south. The son of Vayu traveled faster than his father, the wind god. He was intent on only one thing. By daybreak, they should be far away from Varanavat, for Duryodhan's spies were everywhere. The dreadful night was over. Bhima realized that they had gone quite a while away from the city of Varanavat. They had traveled almost 80 yojanas, close to 100 miles. Kunti was extremely tired, and she said,
I am dying with thirst. I cannot proceed even a step further without water, and I am extremely sleepy. I will rest under some tree. I have to. If we are captured by the Kauravas, I do not care. I am past all caring.
There were tears in her eyes when she said this, and Bhima took them to a grove nearby and told her,
You must all rest here. I feel that there is water somewhere near. I can hear the noises made by the water birds.
Yudhisthira asked Bhima to go and get water for their mother, and Bhima went in search of it. Not far away from there, he saw a beautiful lake, its surface covered by lotuses and lotus leaves. It was so beautiful that he could not believe it. Bhima also could not walk fast. He was so full of fatigue. He drank deep of that wonderful water and bathed in it. It was so inviting. He forgot all his fatigue and sleepiness in the thrill of bathing in that cold water. And finally he came out, and he wetted his upper cloth with water. He made a cup out of huge lotus leaves and carried the water in that. When he reached the spot where he had left his mother and brothers, he found them fast asleep, and he woke them up one by one and gave them water. They drank it and again fell fast asleep. Bhima sat there by their side, watching them. He thought that his heart would break into a million pieces. The sight of his mother sleeping on the ground which was covered by leaves was enough to melt a heart of stone. He looked at them one by one, his mother, his beloved brothers. They looked so pathetic and helpless while they slept. He thought to himself,
Here lies my mother. She is the sister of Vasudeva of the house of Vrishnis. She is the daughter-in-law of the great house of Kuru. She is the wife of the famous Pandu, and she is the mother of five brave sons. Brave indeed. Here we are, running away to save ourselves from the cruelty of a man who is our father in name. And here lies my brother, a godlike man fit to rule the world. Over there is Arjun, the greatest archer in the world. Then these twins, Sakula. They're dark and handsome, they look like blue lotuses. Each one of them can destroy the entire family of Dhritarashtra. And yet fate is such that we have to go about in hiding. Afraid of that heartless man. Can anything be more tragic than this? They, the evildoers, thrive in the world. while we have to suffer at their hands. Still, let us wait and see. The end is of importance, not the beginning. The river begins her course from some unknown crevice in the snow-clad mountain, but her end is what is glorious. We will also be great someday. Perhaps it's not in the near future. My brother, the wise Yudhisthira, says wait. All right, I shall wait. The world will then see how I shall take revenge on the sinners who were responsible for this scene.
They were all sleeping. Bhima thought that it would not be wise if he slept also. And also the bath had refreshed him and the cold sting of the waters had banished sleep from his eyes. He decided to sit watch over them all. The forest where they were resting was called Hidimbavan. It belonged to a man-eating demon by the name Hidimba. He and his sister Hidimbi lived in that forest, eating all the human beings who were foolish enough to enter that forest. While the Pandavas were sleeping, Hidimba was sitting on top of a tree, and suddenly he smelt human flesh. He looked around and saw the sleeping forms of the Pandavas, and he spoke to his sister.
Listen to me, my dear sister. There are human beings here. I can smell them and... Ah, there they are. I can see them from here. My mouth is already watering at the thought of the delicious flesh. I will wait here. You go over there quickly and kill them. And then we'll have a feast.
It's such a long time since I tasted human flesh.
Jumping from tree to tree, Hidimbi arrived at the spot very soon. She saw the sleeping Pandavas and their mother. She saw Bhima keeping guard over them. She saw that they were all beautiful. They were more lovely than anything she had seen so far. And her eyes came to rest on Bhima. Looking at his body, which was beautifully proportioned, she was overcome with love for him. He was the perfect specimen of manhood with his broad chest, slim waist, and narrow hips. The name Vrikodar was a suitable name for him. Bhima's figure was just as slim and graceful as that of a wolf. Hidimbi told herself,
I have a feeling inside me which tells me that this dark, handsome man is meant to be my lord and master. I love him. How can I obey my brother when my heart is given to this man? He is the only man fit to be my husband.
She stood at a distance for a while looking at him, all the while as if her eyes could not drink their fill. She now assumed the form of a lovely woman. She approached him slowly, very slowly. Bhima turned and looked at her, her dark form draped in chaste white. She was beautiful enough to charm anyone. He was surprised to see her there and said,
Who are you? You are so very beautiful. And how is it that you are alone in this dreadful forest?
She looked at him with wide, sidelong glances. She smiled a little and spoke to him in a very sweet, soft, caressing voice. She said,
Who are you? You are so handsome. Who is this dark, beautiful woman who is sleeping here? Who are these young men? Did you not know that this forest belongs to a cruel demon called Hidimba? He relishes human flesh. I must confess that I am his sister, Hidimbi. He saw you from a distance and sent me here to kill you and bring him his favorite food. I came here with that intention, but looking at you and your handsome form, all sinful thoughts had fled from my mind. I have fallen in love with you. I want you as my lord and lover. If you refuse me, I will not be able to live. Please accept me, and I will make you very happy.
Bhima told her,
This is my brother, my elder brother, whom I honor as my god. And this over here is my mother. There are my younger brothers. They are all depending on my strength to protect them. What you ask is impossible. I cannot go away with you for marriage while leaving them behind and unprotected.
She told him,
I will carry you and your mother away from here. I can assume any shape and any form. I will go far away from my brother and live with you on a mountaintop. Come with me.
Bhima told her,
I am not so fond of this life of mine that I should protect it by leaving my helpless brothers behind. As for your proposal, I think it is wrong. You can't ask me to do something that's against all religion.
Oh, I have offended you. I'm so sorry. I do not want to displease you. I will carry you all away from here. This place is dangerous because of my brother. We must hurry. Please wake up your mother and your brothers. My brother will be here any moment.
Never. They are sleeping so peacefully. I will not give them a rude awakening. As for your brother, let him come. I am not a coward. I am stronger than you think. I have immense strength. I can take care of your brother.
They heard a loud noise nearby. Hidimba waited for his sister a long time, and when she did not come, he became curious about the delay. He had to find out for himself the reason, and he drew near. It was his approachment that they heard. Hidimbi was upset, and she said,
Even now it's too late. My brother is very near. Still I can carry you all away from here. Please listen to me.
Bhima smiled at her and said,
Don't be upset, Hidimbi. Your brother today will meet his match. Ha! I can defeat that man-eater easily. I'm glad that I will be able to rid this forest of such a pest. Haven't you taken a look at my arms, Hidimbi? Don't you think they're strong enough to crush the life out of your brother's body? Don't insult me by thinking that I am not strong enough to tackle him.
My lord, there was no thought of insulting you when I spoke of danger to you. I have now fallen in love with you. You have become so dear to me that I am not willing to lose you at any cost, and yet I am afraid that I might lose you. I will wait and watch you kill my brother. Then you will take me for your wife.
Bhima did not speak a word in reply, but he smiled to himself. Hidimba had now come near enough to hear his sister. His eyes were red with anger, and he shouted,
So, this is how you bring food for your brother? I'm going to take care of you later. But first, I'll kill this man who is impertinent enough to think that he is more than a match for me. Then I'll take care of you, my dear sister. You can meet together and have your marriage in the Hall of Death.
He came near Bhima. Smiling at the Rakshasa, Bhima said,
Please don't make so much noise. My brothers and my dear mother are sleeping. They are very tired. Do not dare to wake them up. As for your talk to your sister, I'll kill you for your words. She came here fully intent on obeying you, but she fell in love with me. A woman in love cannot harm her beloved. You say that you will kill her? Well, let me see how you can do it when I am here. Tonight, this forest will be rid of you, Buster. You're just a monster who's been frightening all the forest dwellers.
The two began to fight like angry beasts charging at each other. Hidimbi was just watching, her eyes wide with astonishment at the sight of powerful Bhima. The noise of the fighting roused the sleeping princess and their mother. A strange sight met their eyes. Bhima was fighting with a demon, by the looks of him. But their side, however, sat a beautiful woman looking at Bhima with eyes full of love, and Kunti spoke to her softly.
Young woman, you are very beautiful. Are you the goddess who protects this wild forest? Are you an apsara from the heavenly planets? Who are you, and what are you doing here? Why are you watching this dreadful fight? Tell me everything.
With her head downcast and with nervous gestures, Hidimbi told her.
This dense forest, looking like a dark rain cloud laden with water, is the place where we live, my brother and I. The demon who is now fighting with your son is my brother.
She told them all that had been happening. She told Kunti about her love for Bhima. Yudhisthira and his brother stood watching the fight, and after a while Arjun said,
Bhima, why don't you give me a chance? This is not right. You've been awake without sleep for 2 nights now. You've walked a long distance carrying all of us. You've got to be tired. I'm fresh after the sleep I've had. Why don't you take rest and leave this demon to me?
Bhima simply laughed and said,
Arjuna, don't worry. He's almost dead now. I've got him between my two mighty arms. And when someone comes between my two arms, how can he escape death? Why should two of us spend our energy to crush this little insect? You just sit and watch the fun, Arjun. It'll be over soon.
Arjun told him,
You must hurry. Evening is drawing near, and you know that the strength of the Rakshasa man-eaters will increase when night comes. You must kill him before the sun's rim touches the western hill.
Bhima took up the immense form of the Rakshasa in his hands and crushed the life out of him. With a terrible cry of pain, Hidimba fell down dead. Bhima's anger did not subside even then, for he pummeled the body until it became a shapeless mash of flesh. Yudhisthira embraced his brother and told him,
I am very fortunate. When I have you, Bhima, for a brother, when I have this Arjun, Nakula, and Sahadev to protect me, why should I think that I am alone? I am stronger than all the demigods put together. Let us move away from here now. It looks as if there's a city somewhere about. Let's continue and go there.
They then began their journey. And poor Hidimbi followed them. She finally approached Kunti and said,
What shall I do?
And hearing her voice, Yudhisthira turned round and Hidimbi continued,
You are the elder brother of this young man, and you are his mother. I fell in love with him. I want you both to influence him and make him take me for his wife. I cannot live if he refuses me.
She looked at Kunti and said,
Mother, you are a woman. You must know how much I am suffering. You must grant me my life. You must grant me happiness. He is my chosen lord. I will protect all of you from the dangers in the forest. I will carry all of you whenever you are tired. Only please give me this young man for my husband.
Kunti was touched by the sincere love this woman had for her son, and she said,
Yudhisthira, this woman loves Bhima. I feel that her desire should be granted. As for Bhima, it looks as though he is not quite averse to this.
She looked at Bhima, who was looking everywhere except in her direction. The brother smiled at his discomfiture. This was new to Bhima. They had never seen him like that before. He smiled bashfully and kicked the stones that lay at his feet. Yudhisthira smiled mischievously at him and said,
Bhima, I know what is worrying you. You think that since I'm your older brother, you must not take a wife until I do. Don't let that worry you. When I meets I, then a marriage is performed. And your eye has certainly met her eye, and vice versa. Go ahead and take her for a wife. I want you to be happy.
The two beings who were in love looked at each other and then looked away. Dimbi took them all to the sacred lake called Salivahan. She built a beautiful cottage for them, and she brought good food. Then she told Kunti,
Mother, I know how much you love your son. I will take him with me now, but every night I will bring him back to you.
And Bhima told her,
I am happy to see how much you care for me, Dimbi. I will stay with you for some time, but you know the story of our lives, and so you must realize that, well, there are a lot of things we have to do to punish our evil-minded cousins. I will remain with you until a son is born to us. Then we will have to leave you and go, not because I want to, dearest, but because our destiny dictates it.
Bhima's time with Hidimbi was very happy. She pleased him with 1,000 ways of love. She took him to many beautiful spots in the forest. With her, he saw many rivers, mountains, and valleys. He saw the ashrams of so many saints and sages. They all looked at them with affection. 7 months were now gone, and the sage Vyas came to see them. He was full of words of comfort to his daughter-in-law Kunti, and he spoke about Hidimbi and said,
This your dear daughter-in-law will bear a brave son to Bhima. He will be famed all over the world for his valor and his fearlessness. Your son's wife will henceforth be called Kamalamalini. When a son is born to her, then the time of your departure will be imminent. Dress yourselves for now in tree barks and matted hair. You must proceed to the city called Eka Chakra. There I will meet you. My dear lady, your sons are born to rule the world. Ignore these present troubled days. They are but passing clouds. Religion and righteousness will win in the end. Calm yourselves and go your ways. We are all here to keep watch over you.
7 months passed as 7 days. Bhima's son was born. He was named Ghadotkacha. He became the favorite of all his uncles, of Yudhisthira in particular. His love for his nephew was immense. They would spend hours together. The time of departure had come. Bhima pacified his weeping wife and said,
Hidimbi, wipe your tears. You have now with you our son. He's my representative. Take good care of him. You can see me and him, and then whenever I want you, I'll think of you. When I do, you must come to me at once, with a speed greater than that of thought. But for now, we have to separate.
Hidimbi bade them adieu with tears blinding her eyes. She was so unhappy. Taking up her son in her arms, she walked with heavy steps towards the ashram, which held such sweet memories for her. She had only these memories to keep her company now. Dressed in tree barks and deer skins, with their hair matted, the Pandava princes proceeded toward Eka Chakra. They did not know what the future held in store for them. It was not in their nature to doubt the words of their elders. The sage Vyas had asked them to go to Eka Chakra. That was enough for them, and they would obey him. Yudhisthira had decided early in his life never to say no to the commands of an elder, and the sage Vyas was their grandfather. He knew what was good for them, with their minds troubled about the uncertain future, but with a strange sense of peace in their minds. The Pandava princes and their mother proceeded towards the unknown city called Ekachakra.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyas many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.